Today, Jan Bubenik is a headhunter, but in 1989 he was studying medicine when he found himself caught up in the revolution that saw the edifice of communism collapse in Czechoslovakia. A decade after he came to prominence as a student leader, Bubenik was again in the news in 2001, this time when he was thrown in jail in Cuba. He is Ian Willoughby's guest on this week's One-on-One.
Jan Bubenik was one of the organizers of a student march in Prague on November 17, 1989, to mark the anniversary of a Nazi crackdown on Czech universities 50 years previously. When the marchers carried on to Narodní Street in the center of the city, they were brutally attacked by police, an incident which set in train the fall of communism in Czechoslovakia. Bubenik quickly became one of the student leaders of the Velvet Revolution, and even served briefly as a member of parliament. Today he runs a successful recruitment agency. At its Prague offices the other day, I asked Jan Bubenik what were his strongest memories of the Velvet Revolution.
First, when I came to Albertov, when the people gathered, it was the first time when it was officially permitted. They call it manifestation rather than demonstration. So it was a good pretext to get together. It was a test how many people would show up, and there were tens of thousands of people who, and for the first time I saw that we are not the crazy one. And if we are together, we could probably do something about it. Second memory from the day was that I just wanted to run for my life when we got really brutally beaten up, and I just kind of felt that the revolution is nothing for me, you know, that with the crack hat, you're not going to do much. And then the euphoria when I was one of the student, I was one of the members of parliament who voted Havel in, and that was the ultimate kind of victory where I felt that it's probably not going to go back to communism. So there were deep fears and deep elations, or high elations and euphoria that I was able to be part of such a dramatic change in our history.
You mentioned the vote for Havel. I believe you were briefly a member of the Czechoslovak parliament.
That's correct. I mean, I was 21. I barely passed the required age requirement for my MP. And I was asked to basically stand in the 5th district of Prague, where my medical school was located. I couldn't sleep for 3 nights before saying yes, and the late ombudsman Otakar Motyl, who was the person I sought and advised, he said, you know, Jan, go ahead, we need people who don't have any baggage from 68 or no other. He said, use your common sense and you'll be a big addition to the kind of new country.
But you didn't stay very long in the parliament.
That's correct. I promised to stay there and do campaign before the first 3 elections for Civic Forum, because I kind of remain in the spotlight as one of the few student leaders. But I realized that whether I would like to be politician, medical doctor, or businessman, that I should first kind of get a trade, learn, actually know something about life before starting regulating everybody else's life. And I think it was I think I had more luck than brains to actually go and travel the world a little bit, learn languages, and actually become a professional.
I believe you went to the United States in the early 1990s. Where did you go? What did you do? And what did you get from the experience?
I went there the first time in the summer of 1990 to study English as a second language at UCLA. And that was a life-changing experience, because all of a sudden, from, I would say, black and white picture, it went for the full color. And all of a sudden, I could exchange ideas, opinions with people around the world. And so it was the prerequisite to actually start learning things and being able to have things firsthand. And then I went to study economics at the University of Colorado in Boulder. In between, I also was partner in a business where we were exporting Czech glass through Bahamas to the U.S. So there was lots of experience, but mainly it changed kind of certain perspective on life. I met lots of young people who borrowed lots of money to actually get a good education, and they started their professional life with huge debt, but they didn't have to steal, they didn't have to cut corners. They lived a very decent life, and because they knew something, somebody paid them professional income, and they had a very nice life, and I was recruited by American firm McKinsey and Company to join their Prague office, and they also get smart young people. They work them hard, but they pay them very good salaries, and I think that influenced my life tremendously.
In 2001, you were arrested in Cuba with Ivan Pilip, who was at that time a member of the Czech Parliament. Could you remind us of that story, please?
We were asked by American human rights organization called Freedom House. It's a bipartisan think tank, which is monitoring human rights around the world, to go and meet Cuban dissidents, courageous people who openly stand against Castro and his regime. And when asked by Ivan to accompany him, because he was on the same mission a year before, and Ivan knew from our mutual friends that I have done similar things in Zimbabwe and South Africa prior to the end of apartheid. So I said, okay, I will, because I felt that we were on the receiving end before 89. And we should share the same hope that one day, if these people keep the battle up, that they will also have, maybe that they could go to political retirement like myself and build your firm, raise your kids in free and a happy society.
You spent 3 weeks, I believe, in a cell in Cuba. How much danger did you feel you were in?
You know, we were for 10 days, we didn't know whether anybody knows what's going on with us. And that's a universe of time. We had a sleep deprivation. We were interrogated for several hours every day. And they told us that they will do whatever they want with us. They said, don't you remember how it used to be in your country? And in the moment you just go, eject, please get me out of here. And it was very much a deja vu. You know that one old man who is a totalitarian ruler will wake up and human's life has no value. So it was very scary, but it was, I would say, long enough to test yourself and your environment, and short enough not to give up hope. At the end, we were lucky that Peter Pinhart flew in there and actually negotiated our release.
You now have your own company. It's a kind of high-end recruitment agency. How did you get into this business?
I was headhunted to become a headhunter. I was a candidate in a search for a director of private equity, and then I declined that, and the headhunter said, we really like how you communicate, would you join us? And later I joined a different one, joined an American global firm, become a head of their operations in Prague. And after they put me on unpaid leave of absence while I was in prison in Cuba, I said, thank you very much for the support. And I took it emotionally, and I left and set up my own shop. And I have to say that I'm actually grateful to them that they forced me to build something which is my own platform, where I could spend time the way I want and also dedicate some time to NGO activities.
If we could go back for a moment to 89, how do you think the Velvet Revolution impacted your life or the course of your life?
I think it was like I was hit by a speed train of history. I was being trained to become a pediatrician, and I was thinking about either working with small kids or being a psychiatrist. And I couldn't imagine that life could be so free, so open, so colorful, like we have 20 years after the changes. And so for me, the system we live in is not perfect, but I think it's just a light years away from what we used to have. So I'm extremely happy with the change, and I think I was lucky to be very close to the change and maybe be small wheel in the whole machine which could be there at a historic moment. And so I think my generation remembers how it used to be and very much appreciates the changes, and we were able to take full advantage of the opportunity it presented to us.